Welcome to the first mini-sode for Money and Taxes from BB to XYZ, the podcast where we break down a single money topic and explain how it affects those across generations, from baby boomers to X, Y, and Z. I'm Regina Neenan, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Jason Spessener, Certified Financial Planner and Enrolled Agent. So if you remember, back in episode 26, we talked about the Dirty Dozen, a list of the 12 dirtiest tax scams and schemes that the IRS prepares annually. And at the time, we were working with the old, the 2023 Dirty Dozen. And just recently, the IRS has updated their Dirty Dozen list for 2024, and we wanted to talk with you all a little bit about it.
Yeah, so tax season is over, and now that the IRS has released all 12 of their Dirty Dozen, we were taking a look back to see what changed from 2023 to 2024, and we noticed that all of the Dirty Dozen are actually the same, but they're in a different order because the IRS saw some with more prevalence during this past tax season than the season before. And in our last episode, we didn't talk about all of them, so we're going to go back and go over the ones that we didn't go into detail about. So starting at the top of the Dirty Dozen this year was phishing and smishing. Head back to episode 26 if you want to learn more about what those are. But the second most common of the Dirty Dozen this year was questionable employee retention credit claims. And Jason, you just got done with tax season, so I'm going to hand it over to you to tell us about what the ERC is and how some of those claims might have been questionable.
Yeah, so business owners, regardless of generation, this affects you. And what the employee retention credit is or was an incentive for employers to maintain employment during the pandemic. When if you employed your employees and kept them on the payroll, you were eligible for a credit. Well, it turns out that there were a lot of stipulations about this credit and things you had to do to qualify for it and certain shutdown rules and all of these sorts of things. Well, unfortunately, there are a lot of sort of unscrupulous businesses out there that are presenting that these credits are available for anyone and that you're eligible for them automatically and that you can just make a claim. And it turns out that's not the case. And these are some pretty high dollar credits and some pretty high cost of preparation to claim those credits as well. And so, yeah, the IRS definitely has this one on their list now, and they've actually shut down application for the credit just because of the issue.
Now, if you think you made one of these questionable claims, the IRS is letting business owners withdraw them so they don't go through processing and so that business owners can avoid penalties and criminal cases, which that gets pretty scary. But I understand that the way to claim these credits is pretty tough in the first place.
Lots of hoops. You're right. And there is there's quite a bit that needed to be done with a payroll tax return, which is that's the place the IRS doesn't mess around. The trust fund for payroll, when you start messing around with that, they get pretty heavy handed with penalties and whatnot. And that's where a lot of these claims were being made on an amended payroll tax return. So it's a pretty gnarly scenario. You're going to see businesses out there still claiming to get you the employee retention credit. Avoid this unless you legitimately know that you have eligibility based on the rules and the circumstances.
Now, Jason, I know you could talk about taxes forever, but we promised our listeners a mini-sode today, so I'm going to move us along to number three here. And this is another one that we talked about last time. Helpful. Do you hear my air quotes there? Online account assistance. Head back to episode 26 for that one. And number four on the 2024 list is fake fuel tax credits. This doesn't sound like something many people could claim on their taxes.
Yeah, but that goes back to the tax return preparers. If we talked about our Gen Z folks, getting into a scenario where potentially you have a tax return preparer promising you this big old refund and you don't exactly know why you're getting it, this might be a reason why. When you claim a fuel tax credit that you're not eligible for, you may boost that refund. And this is one of them. If you're not a farmer, you don't own an off-highway business, you probably have never heard of this. But if you have the wrong preparer out there that might be saying, hey, let's get you a little boost in your refund by making this claim, that's where this comes into play. And again, if you see a fuel tax credit in your tax return and you don't know what that is, there might be an issue. So be careful.
Now, number five on the 2024 list is offer in compromise MILs. And I know a little bit about this one. I don't think this applies to many of the clients we work with, but we understand a lot of our listeners probably aren't clients too. So for those of you who may have some federal tax debts that you can't pay off, the IRS can sometimes work with you to reduce the amounts that you owed or compromise on them. And there are some scammers out there who create MILs. They do this aggressive advertising, like, I can reduce your federal tax debts. And they just try to get people into these situations where they think they're going to be paying pennies on the dollar. And yeah, it's not exactly up to par.
Yeah. And your contract, of course, is with the mill now to pay them a fee that perhaps does not have anything to do with the offer and compromise you actually receive, but is simply a fee for their attempt to get one. And you could be in even greater debt and have a now second issue with the business itself. An offer compromise does exist. It's possible to get one. It does take quite a bit of proof. You have to prove that you're eligible for it, and you have to really work with the IRS to make sure that you're going to actually get a legit offer and compromise, and just don't take someone's word for it that they're going to get you this big relief because they just know it and they're really strong-handed about how they're going to get that offer and compromise. Like, you have to qualify first, so make sure that they can prove that you do before you engage them.
And there's a free way to check that. It's on the IRS's website. It's called the Offer and Compromise Pre-Qualifier Tool. So give that a try before you decide to start working with someone. Now, moving us along, number 6 on the Dirty Dozen list for 2024 was fake charities. Number 7, unscrupulous tax return preparers. And number 8, bad tax advice from social media. We went over all 3 in our last episode, so head back to that. And number 9, Jason, this one I didn't remember on the 2023 list. It's called spear phishing.
Yes, spear phishing. So it's sort of putting the shoe on the other foot as far as like who the victim of the phishing attempt is. And in this case, it's the preparer themselves. Maybe there is somebody claiming to be a new client or claiming that they need help with tax data. And so we have to be on the lookout for this. And that is that they're attempting to essentially get into the tax preparer's system, or they're trying to get information from the tax preparer so that they can use that information, for example, like an e-file identification number or a preparer tax ID number, get that information from the preparer and exploit it in some way, whether it's across the client base or whether it is filing false returns using that information. So we take that very seriously and are on the lookout for this sort of very thing to make sure that we are vetting our clients. Frankly, since we are preparing tax returns for our well-known and longtime clients as a part of our comprehensive services, we can avoid a lot of this issue.
Now, next up on the list, number 10, tax schemes aimed at high-income filers. We went through these in the last episode, so I'm going to jump right to number 11, bogus tax avoidance strategies.
Yes. Now, this is the old, all these little tax shelters, and one of the most common right now is the syndicated conservation easements, which is basically just going out, buying a bunch of land, saying, oh, you could develop this land and it's worth millions and millions of dollars, but we're just going to give it to charity. And so it's this sort of this scheme to manipulate how the valuation of property works. And so it creates a definitely very questionable tax avoidance strategy. But then these can be also very simple. You could have somebody not applying, for example, like a passive activity loss on a tax return when they should be. And so they're claiming this massive loss that they're not eligible for and that they're probably going to get in trouble for in the long run. So you got to be careful to understand that when there are rules in place to not be able to do something, it's for a reason, and you can't just skip it. You can't just say, oh, no, we're just going to take a different approach if it's contrary to Treasury regulation. So be careful there with anything that sounds too good to be true, frankly.
Now, last but not least, number 12, schemes with an international element.
Ooh, international intrigue. There are lots of potentially interesting sounding tax schemes that have something involved outside of U.S. borders. And already you should be questioning whether or not, unless you have some sort of in on an understanding of why this would exactly be going down and why you would take your money outside of the country.
Don't try to skip out on taxes in the U.S., on dollars you earned in the U.S.
This is it. It is a very heavily reported system, and it's very, frankly, hard nowadays to miss the reporting on a lot of this stuff. And so thinking that income that was reported to on a 1099 or W-2 or something else can somehow get magically washed away off your tax return because it's going to go in some trust in the Bahamas is not a wise idea.
And the other part of this is not accurately reporting digital assets. Maybe they're not tied to the U.S. like our currency is, but it's cryptocurrency or NFTs, non-fungible tokens. Make sure you're tracking those, tracking your income when you purchase and sell these assets, and report them appropriately. So instead of 3 takeaways today, we're going to keep it short. Our big takeaway is check the list every year. Know what the dirty dozen are and learn from the IRS the tactics you can use to avoid these.
I love that takeaway. Now, if you have an idea for a future podcast episode, or you just want to share what's gone on with your tax scenario where you spotted something that was maybe a scam or scheme and we're able to avoid it, please reach out to us. You can email Money and Taxes at podcast@fpfoco.com. You'll also find that in the show notes. Be sure to follow us in your favorite social media channels, Instagram, X, LinkedIn, Facebook. Our handle is @FPFoco. I suppose I wrote and produced this episode, but Reggie does something very special with the episodes as well.
Yeah, I work with Jason to write and produce the episodes, and I also edit them.
Well, hey, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Jason Spessener and Regina Neenan are investment advisor representatives of Financial Planning Fort Collins, a registered investment advisor. The information in this podcast is provided for general educational and entertainment purposes only. It may not apply to you or your specific circumstances and should not be considered financial, investment, or tax advice.